Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily. Joe Giglio with you. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. Of course, the YouTube feed, 94 WIP. Check it out there. It is time for my week 18 NFL picks, 46-38-1 against the spread first 17 weeks of the year. Can we get to the magic number of 50 wins? I need a four-win week. We'll see if we get there. Look, week 18 is always a weird week before I jump into the five picks. It's just, you know, half the teams in the league aren't playing anybody. We know the Eagles are going to rest starters. These spreads are all over the place. You get close spreads with teams that aren't really interested versus a team that is interested. Then you get a game like the Cleveland and Baltimore game on Saturday where you have, you know, one team favored by basically 18 points because they have everything to play for. The team has nothing to play for, and they want draft position, and they're bad. So you got to try to figure out motivation. Can you get one team that's motivated versus one that's not? How do you play that? What's the number? These numbers move around so much during the week that if you got it early, you had to kind of guess what was going to happen. If you guessed right, you might have got a great number. If you waited till late in the week, well, you might still have information, but you might not have the best of the number. Let's get into it. Last week, 2-3, saved by the Lions, who always go all out on Monday night with their victory over the 49ers. That got me the two wins last week. Just a brutal beat. I mean, the brutalest beat last week was the Broncos-Bengals. I had the Broncos plus 3 on the pod. That could have got us to a winning week and got us to 47 wins heading into this last week, making the 50-win, you know, goal a little bit more manageable. But either way, that was just a tough one because the Broncos had so many chances to cover that game, and they end up not doing it. All right, one thing to know before we get into the picks this week, favorites have just cleaned up this season. Favorites are now 61-16, which is 79.2% straight up since week 13, after going 14-2 straight up in week 17. Overall this season, favorites are winning at a 72% clip outright. It's the third best mark for a single season since 1980, and favorites of 6 points or more since week 13, 29-1 straight up. The only loss coming from the Colts last week against the Giants. The Colts are a mess of a team right now. And favorites have gone, you know, just incredible. 72% this year, most profitable season for favorites is 05. If you're an underdog's better, and I tend to be more of that, it's been harder this year. Now, I've started taking more favorites in the second half of the season than I'm used to doing because that's just where I think the value lies. Let's dive into this week. This week, I have three favorites, two dogs. We start with the dogs. We start with a game on Saturday night. I'm going to take the Steelers plus 1.5 over the Bengals. I know all eyes are going to be on Joe Burrow and the Bengals, can they extend this possible dream to Sunday? Can they get it to Sunday where they would need a Miami loss and a Denver loss to make the postseason? And I think the expectation, I mean, they are the favorite on the road here, is that they're going to do this. I don't see it quite the same. So a couple things. One, I still don't think the Bengals defense is totally figured out. I still think it's a poor defense. And the second thing is I think we're discounting the potential motivation for the Steelers in this game. Obviously, if the Ravens somehow slipped up against the Browns, the Steelers who win the division get a home playoff game. That's probably not going to happen. In fact, it'd be shocking if it did. The Browns are, you know, historic underdogs in their game, that first game on Saturday. All right, so when they kick it off on Saturday night, the Steelers will know if they have any chance to win the division, which is probably none. But I think this reminds me a little bit, and they're similar in how they approach things. It reminds me a little bit of the emphasis the Steelers had this week preparing compared to the Lions last week. Mike Tomlin is preparing his team to go play and win a football game. I don't think he's going to just pull the plug 10 minutes before kickoff when he sees the score of the Ravens game. They're going in there to win a game. The other thing is the Steelers have lost three straight games. I'm sure Tomlin wants a victory on his ledger and to kind of change the feeling of this football team before they head into the postseason next week, where they're likely going to be on the road and they can now affect with this game who they're going to play. With a win, the Steelers are likely headed to Houston to take on the Texans, a very winnable game. In fact, I think they'd win that game in a close one down in Houston. With a loss, they're heading to Baltimore. Do they want to face Baltimore a third time? I mean, I'm sure it'd be great for TV and they'd have fun with it, but I'd much rather go to Houston. That's a better path to go win a football game. So I think there's going to be motivation at the Steelers' end. This season, the Steelers are 3-0 straight up and against the spread when playing extended rest. They have a good amount of rest here over the Bengals, who played Saturday. Meanwhile, the Steelers played on the Christmas Wednesday, so that helps them. And early on, now week 18 is still newish, but early on, only three head coaches are 3-0 against the spread or better in week 18. That's Dan Campbell, Mike Tomlin, Sean McDermott. If you include week 17 and week 18, you kind of put those together, last 20 years against the spread, Tomlin is the best, and then followed by Dan Campbell. So his team does well to end seasons. Tomlin, when listed as a dog against a divisional opponent, Steelers are 22-16 straight up, and they're 26-10-2 against the spread. It's a good spot for Mike Tomlin. Give me the Steelers plus 1.5. I think they're going to win this thing outright and knock the Bengals out of the postseason. All right, game number two. We'll take our second dog, and then we'll go to the three favorites. Game number two. I'm going to take the Panthers, plus 7.5 over the Falcons. I think this is an overreaction to last week, overreaction to the Panthers struggling for the first time, and really getting blown out like that. That was a little rare. I know two out of the last 3 weeks they struggled with the Cowboys and with the Buccaneers. But for the most part, since the beginning of November, it's been a competitive Carolina team. I think you're going to an overreaction to the Falcons last week's overreaction to Penix. And overreaction for the need here for the Falcons to win this football game. All right, Carolina. Teams after getting blown out who are getting 4 points or more, 61% ATS against the spread since 03. So that's a long sample, 2 decades. This kind of team keeps it close. Since 1990, eliminated teams, playing teams that need to win over the final 2 weeks of the regular season, have gone 105, 69, and 4 against the spread. That's 60%. Okay, and that fits the bill here. You get a Falcons team in a must-win. You get a Carolina team trying to finish strong here with their first year as a head coach, with new head coach Dave Canales. And I just think teams that are kind of average, like Atlanta, playing teams that are below average, the spread gets inflated by the need. And I don't think that really factors in on the field. Bryce Young, 3-1 against the spread, covering as a big dog in the last couple months here. I think Penix has been interesting and fun to watch, but you know, his completion percentage over expected last 2 weeks, it's ranked 27th out of 33 quarterbacks with at least 30 plays. I think he's missed a lot of passes. I'm sure he will again in this game. And I don't like Raheem Morris. I think he's a disaster in the game. I'll take Canales over Raheem Morris in this spot. When Raheem Morris has been a favorite, he's 6-9 against the spread of 3 points or more. It's not good. Plus Atlanta off a long overtime last week. Could be drained. They might also see the clock late in the fourth quarter, and if the Bucs are up 14 or 17, maybe the foot comes off the gas a little bit, and they just allow Carolina to stay in this thing. Give me the Carolina Panthers plus 7.5 to finish strong this season under Canales. Game number two. Our game number three, our first favorite here. And this one, There's no handicap on this except motivation versus non-motivation. I'm going to take the Seahawks minus 6.5. I'll take it and like it under a touchdown over the Los Angeles Rams. Sean McVay's sitting his guys. He doesn't care if he's the 4 seed. He doesn't care about giving Tampa Bay the 3 seed. He's sitting his guys, and he's done this before. So I went back and looked at all the years with McVay, 17 through 20. This is now 24, but 17 through 23 in his coaching career, excluding 2019 where he missed the playoffs. And the one that is the most similar to this is 2017. First year, they were locked into playing the next week in the wild card, and I believe they were going to be the 3 seed that year, and took on the Atlanta Falcons as the 6 seed. That was McVay's first season. His team, he sat everyone, lost 34-13 to a bad 49ers team. But what makes that interesting compared to right now is that 49ers team was in a first-year program with Kyle Shanahan. First-year quarterback in that program, Jimmy Garoppolo. A team that just was trying to put it, establish something and finish strong, building into the next season. That was the 49ers of 2017, and I think the Seahawks are a good comparison now. They're not making the playoffs. They got eliminated on the strength of victory last week before they even played this game, which is a shame because this could have been an NFC Championship, NFC West Championship kind of game. But I think Mike McDonald's going to want to finish strong. Geno's going to want to finish strong. He has incentives. Some of the young players there, they're going to springboard this into next year. They'll be motivated to play this game. The Rams have no motivation. So McVay's team lost in 2017 by 3 touchdowns. 2018, they're playing for seeding. 2020, playing for their spot. 2021, seeding. 2023, now last year they won playing backups, but they're also playing the 49ers backups. So I'm going to remove that one. I think this is, it reminds me of what happened in 2017. I won't be surprised the Seahawks blow the doors off the Rams in this game because McVay doesn't care. His players don't care. They're prioritizing next week, and we'll see them in the first round. I'm going to take the Seahawks minus 6.5 over the Rams for game number 3. Our game number 4 here in this one, I'm going to take the Arizona Cardinals over the 49ers. This is going to be a Josh Dobbs spot playing in this game. Let me just, latest injury update is Brock Purdy has the elbow issue this week. And, you know, unlikely to play in the finale here. Josh Dobbs is going to start. Brock Purdy is not going to start. And I'm going to take the Cardinals. I think the Cardinals are in this to try to put down their stamp on, hey, we're coming, NFC West. There's been a lot of conversation this week after their loss Saturday night in Los Angeles about where the Cardinals go, kind of a crossroads. They're going to trade Kyler Murray. I actually think the Cardinals are kind of close. They have played close in the month of December, a lot of these teams. A couple coin flip games here and there, and we're talking about a Cardinals team that probably makes the playoffs. I don't think the Cardinals are that far away from being a playoff team, and I think they're going to want to finish this thing really strong this season and taking out the Niners. You know, the Cardinals enter this week as I pull up their, you know, kind of the profile of their team. They're not a bad football team. They're just one that hasn't been able to close this season enough. But I look at them as a team that could, with a good offseason. I don't know, they had a good draft last year. I think Kyler's bounced back physically and has played pretty well this year. They just had trouble closing. Like they're 7-9 this season. They can get to 8-9 with a win on Sunday. Here are some of their losses. They lost 34-28 to the Bills in week 1. They lost to the Seahawks 16-6 in early November. They lost 23-22 in Minnesota, which you think now, as Minnesota's 14-2 now, that loss and what it was. The Rams, they lost 13-9 last week, lost to the Panthers in overtime 36-30. So I just pulled up, they lost to the Lions 20-13. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I would call it 6 toss-up games. You give them 3 of those, and they're 10-6 right now, and they're going to win this division. So they're not far away. I'm going to take the Cardinals off of extended rest playing on a Saturday against the Niners, who are coming off short rest playing Monday night. They went all out to win. They didn't. Purdy got hurt. Now they're going to play Josh Dobbs. Teams coming off of facing the Lions are 6-9 straight up, 4-11 against the spread this season. And the 49ers is not a very good football team. I mean, they're 9-13 straight up in the last 22 games, including the playoffs last year. They have been a mess. Give me the 49ers to lose. Give me the Cardinals to win it, minus 4.5. And then the fifth game, I could not pick this game. I mean, there's not many games with motivation on both sides, huge motivation on both sides. It could be the game of the year. It's certainly the game that the NFL was hoping for to end the season. You can't have more at stake. Lions minus 2.5 over the Vikings. I will take the favorite. I will take the Lions to win this game and cover it. Sunday night, the one seed on the line, it's a massive game. I mean, the difference between being the one seed and the five seed is as big as it gets in the NFL. Campbell's been great in week 18. The total on this game is in the upper 50s. It'd be the highest over-under any game in 3 years. Chiefs-Titans in 2021 was 59. An incredible season for the Vikings. They're 14-2. Yeah, the win total to start the year was 6.5. First team since the 2015 Panthers with Cam, who was in the Super Bowl, to finish at least 6.5 games above their win total. Look, I like the favorite here. I know it's a short week for the Lions. I know that a lot of people think they shouldn't have played on Monday night. They did. It's their culture. It's who they are. Favorites in primetime night games, 45-12 straight up, including 5-0 straight up from this Lions team. When they play in the spot with the bright lights, they show up under Dan Campbell. The Lions are 9-0 straight up as favorites in night games, winning by 9.2 points a game. Goff's been great against Flores, great against the Vikings, and Dan Campbell 64% as a coach. I will take that, but this whole year has been built on the Lions story. And I don't believe they're going to follow a wild card game. I believe they're going to get the one seed. I think too many people have written them off because their defensive struggles. They make plays in the defensive backfield. They're letting up a lot of yards. We'll see if they get Anzalone back this week. I'm going to guess they will. That will be a big boost. I think they'll make a play or two. I think they'll pick off a Sam Darnold pass. Kirby Joseph going for his 10th interception after getting snubbed up for the Pro Bowl. They'll make a play. They'll make a play to win this game. Give me the Lions in a shootout. I'll take Detroit something like 34-31. They push the envelope on offense like they always do, and they win this game to give themselves the number one seed in the NFC. Are the five picks for week number 18, Steelers plus 1.5 over the Bengals, Panthers plus 7.5 over the Falcons. Give me the Seahawks minus 6.5 over the Rams, Cardinals minus 4.5 over the 49ers, and the Lions minus the 2.5 over the Minnesota Vikings. Have a great week. We'll talk to you on Sunday for the pregame show. Countdown to kickoff starts at 10 on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Appreciate everyone listening to WIP Daily.